Blog Talk Radio.
Oh boy.
Here we go with the spooky music again.
Yeah, everybody got dropped, so there we go. It looks like
I'm there. Yeah, I'm back.
And welcome to Pop Culture Stars. There is our ridiculous Halloween music that Dr. John has yet to pull off, despite us being a week out of St. Patrick's Day. But nevertheless, great way to lead off. Jesus Christ. Tonight's show, 3823. Now, before I go into the introductions, Blog Talk is acting a fool tonight. So in the event you get dropped again, like you just did, Granny and Mark, just get on the messenger and go, hey, I got dropped. So I can run back inside and click you back in. I don't know what's going on. Nevertheless, it is dropping calls like I dropped dollars at the particular dance clubs around here. But nevertheless, so here we are. Welcome, Pop Culture Stars. We appreciate you guys listening in. I am your host with the most, or actually the least at this point, stressed out because technology does not want to cooperate with me, but we hope everybody listening out there is doing fantastic. We have got a very, very special guest tonight. So we're going to kick it around the room real quick so that way we get things going. And in the meantime, I'm going to open my malt beverage. So starting off in the fine state of Arkansas, returning to us from a brief absence, the one, the only, the wonderful Granny Hulkster. How are you doing this evening, young lady?
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction, Mr. Dave, and I'm really glad to be back. I've had a lot going on the last couple of weeks, and things have been a little crazy, like I talked about in the green room before the show, but we're moving along, but I'm ready for an awesome show and listening to our awesome guest tonight that we have on. I think it's just going to be a fun show. So I really do. So I'm glad to be back.
Absolutely.
So I miss you guys, and you know, I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with my friends that I went out with for dinner a couple weeks ago. We had a girls' night out, and there was no tequila involved. Just saying, guys, there was absolutely no tequila involved. At least not on my part. maybe the other three that I was with. Maybe the other three that I was with, but not on Granny's part. Not on Granny's part. So I don't do tequila so that well. So I don't, you know. But we had a fun girls' night out. It was fun. And then last week, I just needed to run away for the night, you know, with everything that I've been dealing with. I called my husband. I said, I have a free night at the hotel and at Indigo. Can I just run away for the night? So I reserved the room, went and played dingo, won some money on the slot machine. So I had a good couple of weeks off, you know. I had a good couple of weeks off. But let's get on with introducing our very special guest tonight.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, and it's good to hear you had some things going in your direction. I know 2023 has been a total disaster for your boy here, and I even my mom came by the house, and normally she never gets over on this side of town, and she was like, she's like, I'm just coming by to check up on you. You know, you're not on Facebook. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And I'm like, Mom, I'm scared to get around anybody right now for fear I'm contagious as hell. But if there's a meteorite that's been hurtling through space for the last 5 billion years, it's probably going to hit me right between the eyes tonight. So I need everybody to stay away from me because obviously I've sat on a black cat somewhere or broke a couple mirrors. But it's good to hear you had a wonderful time, and it's good to have you back.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. So we're going to kick it to the northeast, to the state that will invade the entire country. But it probably not Ohio because they can't breathe the air, drink the water, or eat the fish now. But nevertheless, leading the charge with his army of alpacas, this man will be the one who takes over. He will be the general, the commandant, whatever kind of name you want to hang on yourself. Tim, what's going on, man?
So in the post-apocalyptic movie that I'm going to make, it'll be like myself and my alpacas, and we have to defend our reverse osmosis system. We control the water of Indiana in the future. That's how it's going to be. Now,
Are you going to be like Braveheart, you know, and with your alpacas and everything?
Yeah. Yep, we'll get the face paint on, the whole nine yards, you bet. Yep, we'll make
some,
a special ritual just for you,
paint.
Granny.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Hot paint, get a couple of rainbows on your forehead, and then jump on your alpaca, maybe tie it at the bottom of your T-shirt in a knot like old Harry Belafonte and go at it, you know.
That's a wonderful image.
That is, yeah.
You've given
terrifying.
Me a wonderful idea there.
Yeah, I'm already surrendering, man. I'm not going to mess with you. But it's great to have you.
We're doing all right on this side of town.
Good to have you here tonight. So, our very special guest tonight. I met this gentleman in Moorhead City show. We did. Now, I'd like to call that a show. It was kind of more of a set up and chill.
Yeah, pretty much.
Didn't pan out as good as we were on it. Nevertheless, I had the privilege of meeting this gentleman and found out that he's actually throwing a show this weekend, which I've been speaking on the show the last couple of weeks. The Port City Comic Con coming up in Wilmington, which is right down the road from me, about 45 minutes. So, Mean Mark Ash, how are you doing this evening, sir? Are you doing good?
Yeah, I can't complain. Not doing too bad. Just trying to get the final touches put together for this event. I'm going to run by Friday afternoon, because they've already got the building set up for us, so I'm going to run by Friday afternoon and inspect it and make any final movements that need to be made. All the guests... There's only one guest I'm worried about running a little bit late, and that's Gary Golding. That's because his plane arrives in Myrtle Beach at 8:30 Saturday morning. Yeah, I've got somebody to pick him up for him, so we should be all good. So.
Yeah, we should be all good.
Yeah,
it's when you live in Jacksonville is when the Myrtle Beach stretches out to two and a half hours because you got that hump between Wilmington and Jacksonville, where it's nothing but trees and deer, you know.
That's the crazy thing about where they put the major airports around here, because Gary's one of the Naked and Afraid cast members, so we've got other Naked and Afraid cast members on the show. So he's like, "Is there a major airport near EJ? Is there a major airport near Trish?" And I'm like, "No, the closest major airport is an hour and a half south of me, and they're 2 hours the opposite direction of me." So we had but Gary, I got to say, Gary's got the old wrestling mentality, man. I mean, he really does. Gary's like, what can I do to keep costs down for you? I'll sleep on your floor. I don't need a hotel. But he's got the old entertainment mentality.
That's awesome. When you just want to see things succeed, that's where and we talk about it here on the show all the time about shared success. Just because somebody's, just because somebody's got a line and you don't, doesn't mean you've got to get all tied up about it. It's when somebody else is winning, you're winning yourself, whether you realize it or not, because folks are, with these shows and everything, if people show up, that's the, that right there is the number one concern about any show you throw, is getting some people in the building. We learned that hard way in Morehead City a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
we
had a good setup. You know, it was a little unorthodox and everything, but nevertheless, we had, you know, a good variety of stuff in there, good variety of people.
Oh, absolutely.
And nobody, we were even next to an ice cream shop. Nobody showed up. So,
you know, with me not living there, I've just got to do it. I mean, that's.
Man, I don't know. I'm not going to try not to throw any shade. I think it was a little too, a little too spur of the moment, I guess, is what I'm getting at. And,
right,
you know, the old rule, you don't half-ass two things, you whole-ass one thing. And,
yep.
You know, if you're going to throw a party, just throw one great big bash where you got all the chips, all the beer, all the women, all the music. Don't have, you know, a party on Saturday night where you just, you know, all alone and you call up two of your buddies and go, hey, man, let's have a party, and get upset because nobody shows up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, that was a little disappointing. I mean, I still did okay. And when I say okay, I mean, I did reach three digits, but it was pretty phenomenal when we only had eight people. Dr. John swears it was 12, but I think he counted those big girls twice.
Yeah, I think so,
I
too. So.
So, Mean Mark, you're throwing the Port City Comic Con Saturday afternoon. So if you would, take the floor and run down some guests that you're going to have out
absolutely.
There for that way we can know who to look forward to seeing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, of course, myself, me, Mark Ash, I'll be on the show, obviously, because I'm promoting it. I'm going to be there regardless. But as far as the featured guests go, we've got E.J. Snyder. I mean, he is like the godfather of Naked and Afraid. He appeared on the second episode ever. He's done 7 challenges, never tapped. Then we've got Gary Golding. Gary is probably, I must say, he's probably the most well-known character on Naked and Afraid, because he's the one that eats the crazy stuff. He ate a crocodile penis on one. after they killed a caiman, he put the caiman's eyes over his eyes and walked around with it. He ended up getting medically tapped out for that because his eyes got infected.
Oh, wow.
Gary, the Gary you see on Naked and Afraid, that is the Gary you get in reality. He is a certified nut. I love him to death, but he is a certified nut. So he's worth the price of admission alone. Which now, this next guest is going to kind of bring me back to Morehead just a little bit. Trish Belinsky and her daughter, Julia Belinsky, both have appeared on Naked and Afraid. They're going to be at the Comic-Con. But what I found interesting so much about the Morehead was Trish's daughter, Julia, attends that academy, and they didn't even know there was a Comic-Con there.
Really?
So that's why I was kind of asking, you know, how was the promotion really done on that one? Because, I mean, people that lived there didn't know it was coming. You know?
Yeah, I was kind of expecting at least a bunch of gymnasts to come in there. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Home field advantage.
Exactly.
Yeah, but didn't pan out. That's why I said I was kind of like,
And now, of course, now we got two more guests. We do have Carlos. He was on the last season of 60 Days In. Season 8's already been filmed, but they haven't given a release date yet. But anyway, Carlos is on it. Carlos Jimenez, he'll also be there. He's from 60 Days In. And, of course, we are going to have, you know, we've already mentioned Buff Daddy, Buff Bagwell.
That's going to be outstanding.
So,
yeah,
I mean, I think we do have. I mean, it's a small building. So I didn't,
go ahead.
Like I said, with a bit smaller venue, I didn't want to overload it with guests. You know,
right.
Believe it or not, now today I woke up to. Now you do a lot of cons too, Dave. I woke up to a comment on one of our Facebook ads that this was the worst Comic-Con lineup they'd ever seen in their life.
Blah blah blah.
And I'm thinking. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, I appear on a lot of cons, so I'm not trying to throw shade on any cons or any promoters or anything of that nature, but I'm thinking, I go to all these cons and I see the same faces, the same 30-year-old faces since they've had their last starring role, and I'm like, what, do you have something against people that are currently on TV or something? What's the deal here? It, I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah. You know, if people don't have, and that's the thing that's pretty unique about the internet, and Lord knows we've talked about it on the show enough time with the whole cyberballs thing. The thing you will say anonymously, peckerhead, on a computer when you know you're not going to get a couple teeth knocked out of your mouth for it.
Yep.
a while back, my wife has a cousin that it periodically coaches me on life because I'll put a meme on there that, you know, and people know me enough to the point where they see some of the memes I put on there. Granny, hey, Tim, you guys seen them. You guys know I'm a cut up. And a lot of times I'll even get on there and say, man, my mom's going to call me over this one, you know, because I know I'm, you know, I'm going deep on it, you know. But she will shoot me these periodic messages about tolerance and, you know, my son was bullied and this, that, and the other, and I'm going. So finally the other, it was probably about a month or two ago, I just ran out of patience with it, and I says, hey, don't let me ruin your day. Just keep scrolling.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many, yeah, somebody took the time out of their day, be it a busy one or not, to sit there and type an ugly sentence about the con, but you know what you did? Apparently you're paying attention.
Hey,
apparently
yeah,
you're interested.
Exactly.
You took
exactly.
The time.
Yeah.
So who's a bigger asshole? An asshole or an asshole that follows an asshole, right? So
yeah, see, now I still shoot movies. I'm shooting a new Spider-Man movie, not this coming weekend, but next weekend. So that was something Gary and I did on one of the Naked Afraid fan boards. Somebody had something nasty to say about Trish, and they said something nasty to say about Gary. You know, Gary made a little comment because Gary's one of the fire back. He don't keep his mouth shut. And I fired back. I said, Gary, here's the whole situation in a nutshell. I said, we did something with our life. We've been on TV. They haven't been. Period. End of story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what Gary replied back with. And Gary said, yeah, we must have done our job well enough. They ain't got nothing better to talk about it.
Yeah, it's true. I had a lady in a comic con, it was a book thing, but they addressed it as a comic con, but she came up to my table and without even reading my books, she just kind of berated my, she flipped over the first book and read the synopsis on the back, and she just, this is historical fiction. Well, that never works out, blah, 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 blah. So I let her go ahead and have her, you know, 60 seconds worth of turpentine, and then I says to her, I says, cool, so how many books you got? You know, what do you write about? And you get that long, uncomfortable moment of silence, you know, well, I don't have any books. And I looked right at her and I said, no, you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, if there was ever a dick moment that I really wanted to be a dick and I pulled it off real good, it was that one, because I just hit the, no, you don't.
Yep.
So yeah, when it
Karen
comes
Whitfield,
down to line,
Batgirl.
Man, yeah.
Yeah, Karen Whitfield, Batgirl. I mean, I didn't meet her to Myrtle Beach, but you know, we've become good friends since. You know, and I gave her one of my CDs or something, and I said, you know, she said, I'll probably listen to this on the way home. And I said, well, let me be honest with you, some of the songs are decent, some of them not so good, whatever. But she said, but you know what? You were able to produce one and release one. How many other people can't say they've done that?
Exactly. Exactly. She's a fantastic lady,
exactly.
Too, man. I need to get her on the show one evening the same, man, because she's a very, very nice. And I felt bad for her in the Moorhead gig because she had driven all the way from Wake Forest. And I was like, oh, my God, not Wake Forest. I thought she lived up around Moorhead City, Atlantic Beach, Bridgeport area.
No, she lived around Raleigh, so yeah, I knew she was coming from around there.
Yeah.
Somewhere. She did say she hit John up for, or hit somebody up for a hotel because she wanted to ride down Friday night instead. So.
Yeah, I when she said that, I don't know if you noticed the color leaving my face, but I was like, oh my God. You know, when you got to drive more, you're, I mean, true. Hell, I drove, what, 45 minutes, an hour out of my way to go there, and I was kind of a little about the whole thing, but, man, to think they had to hump all the way from Wake, for God's sake. But, no, the lineup has no problem at all. And,
well, I'm beating the time, but.
Yeah, go ahead. You got it.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just saying, Brother's Boy sent me two. Yeah, they sent me two graphics. Now, I fell asleep. I fell asleep getting ready. Thank God my wife wouldn't admit when she did. It had really been late. But they sent me two graphics, and it had two different start times on it. And I'm just like, now I don't even know what damn time the show starts. Because they sent me a 12 o'clock start time and an 11 o'clock start time.
Well,
I was like, I don't even know what time the show starts.
Right before the show started that week, I said, because I'm one of these guys that likes to get in there early, get set up, and then I go help other people set up or work the room or whatever, you know, get to know my neighbors and all that kind of good stuff. And says, all right, man, well, I'll see you about, you know, 08. 08? I says, yeah, things kick off at 10, right? And he goes, no, they don't kick off till 12. I said, well, the flyer you've been throwing around said 10. No, it doesn't. It says 11. I said, well, why'd you just say noon? And he's like, well, let me look. I said, brother, it says 10. I'm looking at the damn thing right now. Okay, well, don't show up there don't show up any sooner than 10. I was like, Christ almighty damn. And you know, because me being in management retail all these years, when you open the doors, you got to be ready. You still can't be setting up. You got to have everything good to go.
Oh, exactly.
And, yeah, because if you're in there shuffling around trying to get things done, you look like a ding-a-ling. So, but, no, that's a good lineup you got. And my son watches that 60 Days In. That's a pretty interesting premise they got on that show. Do you ever watch that?
I do. I've watched all of that. Matter of fact, do you remember the girl, Jacqueline, that was on not the last season, but the season prior? She was a thin blonde-headed girl. She's kind of got darker hair now, but she was a thin blonde-headed girl. She was on the show where that black girl, Angel, ended up having the affair with the other inmate.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about now. I was thinking about the one that was married to the Marine.
Well, the Marine killed her, though. I don't know if you knew about that.
What? No,
yeah, I didn't know that until a couple of days ago. I was reading up on, you know, because I was, you know, me and the wife were talking, you know, if this kind goes well, you know, I found a much bigger building, we can do a better kind in, it's a lot cheaper and everything else. I mean, so I'm kind of, you know, in the back of my head thinking about another kind, you know, and of course, Jacqueline, you know, came up now that she's been on 60 Days In, and she's been on Naked and Afraid. Her episode airs the 19th. I'm thinking about who could we bring in on the next go around as well. I mean, I'm constantly churning, you know. So it's, you know, if you know how the kind of thing works, it's a never ending deal. You know, as soon as you finish one, you start playing the next, you know. So,
exactly.
It's just,
wow.
I mean, I've had to cut down I've had to cut down. So, I mean, I've got a little medical disorder that just kind of just knocks me for a loop. I mean, I can't wrestle anymore or do MMA. So that's why I started doing the cons and music stuff, you know, more so. And, of course, now I can't even perform music because I can't do full sets because the spotlights, I got so much heat sensitivity. It's crazy.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, it's one of those things, the older we get.
Yeah, I know. You see, like, you're talking about dropping dollar bills at all these strip clubs. See, I remember when they used to kiss me. Nowadays, it costs $20. I mean, just getting old stuff sucks. I mean,
it's funny. I had more money for strippers back then than what I do now. You figure at my age, you know, I own my house, own my cars, the kids are graduated. I should be doing snow angels in money. I'm into the complete opposite, man. I can't even – if something's free, I still can't buy it. It's something else. So, but yeah, looking forward. Now, hit me up with the times and the locations again, if you don't mind, Mark, so that way we can get that out. And, okay, of course, we'll repeat this throughout the show, but the times and places. Hit me if you would.
Okay. All right. The place is Citizen Studios because it's now a movie television studio type place. Now, in Wilmington, it is most known as the VFW Hall because up until 2 weeks ago, it was still labeled the VFW Hall and actually had an old World War to go. They finally took all that down and moved the plane. So it's a big red building. It's right next door to a Roses shopping center. There's only one Roses in Wilmington, so if you can find Roses, they're right next door to it. It's a big red building. Called Citizen One Studios. There is a marquee up front, so they do have the. They've already got the Port City Comic Con on it, so we're good to go there. But it is 2722 Carolina Beach Road. We're opening up for vendors at 10:30. Now we've got the official start time from 12 to 5, but I mean honestly, if you know majority of the vendors are there and everybody's set up, you know, and there's people coming to the door, we ain't gonna hold it to 12 o'clock on the dot. So.
Right.
But now there is something I wanted to mention. Now there's only 19 spots left for this. So anybody that's interested in this, I urge you to buy your tickets online because these are going to go fast. The admission tickets, I mean, keep selling until they're sold out because, you know, we do have the list numbers on our storefronts. But the admission tickets, we are having a dinner at Golden Corral. With the guests afterwards, 6:15 start time. They are going to close off a section of the restaurant for just us and the celebrities, and we're selling 20 tickets for fans that would like to have dinner with the guests after the show as well. Yeah, so, I mean, we've sold a few tickets. So I think there's, like, when I looked at the website today, there was like 19 tickets available.
Well, that's cool. That's a nice little good idea there, because that's, you know, because a lot of times folks will, I know when I first got on the con scene, and Lord knows I've told this story on the show a couple of times, I was across the way from a guy who was on The Walking Dead, and it was a bit part. It wasn't like he was one of the hard hitters on it, but nevertheless, he was on The Walking Dead. And, you know, that's one of my family's favorite shows to sit down and watch. So here I am, my first con. I've got one book. This is back when I only had one book published. I was working on a second. And the whole time I'm staring at him and I'm going, man, that dude is on The Walking Dead. I ain't got nothing on him. I'm such a dweeb. I got nothing on that guy. Well, oddly enough, he's on the other side. And he's looking at me going, man, that dude wrote a book, man. Man, I'd never be able to pull nothing off like that, man. So as the con went on, they had some panels. We just so happened to have kind of like a little break in the action there. And, you know, as we're looking around, you know how sometimes with two dudes we'll lock eyes on one another and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to act funny about it. You're kind of like, you do the old chin. You're like, sup, dude? We started shooting the breeze, and within 15 minutes of shooting the breeze with Dango, I found out that he's a human being. And, you know, he found out that I was a human being. And before you know it, you know, you find that these people that you watch on TV every week, they're actually humans. And they actually enjoy, you know, some human interaction. You know?
Exactly. I mean, I ain't saying I was a superstar wrestler or nothing, but I mean, you know, we get approached in shopping stores and airports and everything. And one of my buddies called me and said, "Hey, I'm sitting at the airport so and so, and Mick Foley's waiting to get on the same plane." He said, "I'd love to talk to him, but I don't want to come off like a dick." And I said, "Well, just walk up to him and say, hey, you know," and got my buddy's name's Pete. And I said, "Hey," just walk up to him and say, "Hey, my name's Pete. I'm a big fan. It's nice to meet you." I said, and then talk to him about anything but wrestling, and he'll probably sit there and talk to you all day.
Yeah, they're good people, man. I've run up on a couple peckerheads along the way, but I would tell you that about probably 95% of the guys that I've met at cons are actually just cool cats. I mean, you know, I was across the way from Flair in Myrtle Beach a couple of years back, and he was talking to my wife so many times, and I'm one of these guys that's punching above my weight when it comes down to my wife. She's a knockout. I'll brag. But Rick's over there laying it down. So I finally looked up and I said, hey, Nate, is my wife a woo? And he goes, brother, she's a woo, woo. And I was like, damn, anybody else would have gotten knocked out. But because it was Nate, she can talk all the smack he wants. But
yeah,
they are. I mean, when you throw an event like that where everybody can just kind of be in a regular setting and have a regular conversation, you know, you're not lying, you're not shaking, waiting for the autograph to dry and that kind of jazz, where you're just sitting around breaking bread, shooting breeze, man, that's an excellent idea.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, because, like, you know, I mean, the Naked and Afraid guys, I mean, it's like Gary and me have gotten pretty close, you know, because my wife is like, hey, you're going to talk to this guy a couple of times, you're calling a friend. I'm like, what do you mean a couple of times? He calls me that many times a day. What do you
Gosh, I wish Granny was closer to that where I could come to that. I'd love to see Buff again.
Yeah, Buff will be a trip, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll pass on the greetings.
Video. Yeah, I got to say, Buffalo cleaned us over in the video he sent me. Yeah, so I mean, I'm hoping he's got his stuff together now.
Well, he was on I watched a podcast thing that he did about 3 or 4 days ago that was on YouTube, and he looked real good and said he was, I want to say, 60 plus days.
Nice.
So yeah. I mean, hats off. I'm doing good to go 60 minutes. And
you and me both.
Yeah. And for these guys, these wrestlers, man, you know, the amount, I don't think anybody understands or will understand the amount of just between the physical beating, the mental beating, the being away from your family, the constantly being on planes. I don't know about you guys, but first off, I don't like to fly because I don't trust people. And,
I don't mind flying. I just hate traveling, period, at this point.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree. Same here.
I mean, doing the quick overnighters at Myrtle Beach or something like that, going down there, you know, having some drinks, partying a little, smoke a couple cigars and that kind of good stuff, that's all good. But, like, after a second or third day, you know, I'm kind of longing my shower where the water actually comes out. And, you know, I want to poop in the home commode, get the home field advantage where my legs don't hang off the end of the toilet because it's one of those long-shaped ones and everything. But these wrestlers, man, these guys are gone all the freaking time. And, you know, they're
about 300 days out of the year, they're usually gone, roughly.
Yeah, and talking to EJ, he travels doing con circuits and gun shows and stuff. And just EJ, he's doing 200 shows a year just doing the Comic-Con circuit, basically.
Holy cow. So,
yeah, wow.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. Crazy. Holy mackerel.
Well, you know, but it goes everywhere with it, you know.
And Mark,
well, I got
sure
a funny
agree.
Story to share with you guys about a con, I mean, that I went to last year. I live in Northwest Arkansas. I live in Springdale, Arkansas. And we had Booker T and Ted DiBiase there at the Comic-Con in March. Well, and I got to talk to both of them, really super nice people, you know, great guys. I have a lot of friends that actually wrestle for Booker at Reality of Wrestling down in Texas. Well, my husband and my son, my husband David, my son Anthony, and I went with our friend Brian. He lives up in New York. We went to WrestleMania last year, and that was our first one. So we went to one day of WrestleCon, and we got to see Booker and Ted again, and then I got to see Ron Simmons and JBL down there. And Ron says, Granny, when was that we met each other? I said, oh, it was probably about 3 or 4 years ago at an autograph signing in Oklahoma at the casino. He says, yeah, that's right. He says, well, go down and tell Booker that Ron and John said you could have anything you wanted from his merchandise for free. So I tracked down to where Booker was. I said, hey, Booker. Because I hadn't talked to him yet. He says, Granny, what are you doing here? You know, and gave me a great big hug. You know, good to see you. I said, well, I have a message from you from a couple of your compadres over there at the other end of the room. And he said, well, who was it? And I said, Ron and John. And they said that I could have any piece of merchandise of yours that I wanted for free. And he stood there and put his hands on his hips, and he said, will you tell those boys to get their butts down here? I want to talk to them. Well, by the time I got back to where Ron and John was, they were both already gone. And then JBL just happened to be at the same Comic-Con this year in up in Rogers, Arkansas. So my husband and I, we went to the Q&A session that JBL did, and that was pretty awesome. That was pretty cool to get to see him again, you know, and talk to him again. So, I mean, Granny loves her wrestling. I mean, I'm a big, huge fan of the sport. I've had a few wrestlers threaten to throw me in the ring a few times. I've been handcuffed to a couple of managers at wrestling shows, you know. But I do behave myself, guys. I mean, just saying, I do behave myself. I just can't help it that, you know, I mean, Tommy Dreamer, we were at a wrestling show in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and it was the last show that Traditional Championship Wrestling did. And at the time, I hadn't had my first knee replacement yet on my right knee, so I was having to walk with a cane, and I had one of those fold-up canes. Well, Tommy grabbed my cane out of my hand and used it on the guy he was wrestling against, Matt Riviera. And they did TV tapings, and they were like, oh, my God, he's got Granny's cane, you know. And he had Matt down on the floor, and he was twisting the cane, and they're like, oh, my God, he's going down to the nether regions. And then Tommy walks, and he swings my cane. Well, it looked like he broke it. And then he comes back, and he takes the handle and tucks the handle under Matt's pipes and pulls up on the cane and gave him, like, the most serious wedgie I've ever seen in my life. Made him hop like a bunny rabbit.
Wow.
And then he comes and brings my cane back to me by the strap. He says, Granny, you might want to take this cane home and sanitize it. It's kind of stinky right now.
Get Purell on it, dude.
but like Granny was just saying, though, you know, we're spending, you know, up to 300 days of stuff on the road, but you also got to look at how many of them days we're wrestling more than once. You know, like when we do TV and stuff like that, we wrestle two or three times. I remember one year I was just figuring out my matches, and we were in May, and I'd already wrestled over 100 matches for that year. You know, when I figured out, you know, how many times I'd wrestled two or three times for TV tapings and stuff like that, you know.
And that stuff ain't no joke. I know everybody likes to carry on, and I wrestle in fake. Go to a live match. And now, Mark, I don't know if you know the Amazing Velvet and Fuego Calderon and all those guys down there in Myrtle Beach. Okay.
Yeah, I was on his podcast last year. So, yeah, I know Velvet well.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Small world. Yeah, we went to a show down there in May right after Barber Pass, and it was a charity thing for Fuego, and me and my wife, I'm one of these guys that always likes to go up and sit in the inconspicuous seat. So of course Velvet, he comes over here and grabs me. He goes, no, you're not sitting back there, brother. He said, you're sitting right here. So he put us both right there at the corner, right ringside. And so the first match, they get in there and they get to throwing one another around, and my wife says, they're getting redder than hell. And I was like, yeah. I says, when you get body slammed, the only difference between getting body slammed for real and getting body slammed for wrestling is that you know it's coming. I said,
yep.
Otherwise, it's the same old shit. When you hit the ground, it's the same gravity. It's the same concrete. And I'm sorry, a gym mat is soft. But it ain't that damn soft.
That was the biggest thing that used to aggravate me to death was, you know, I hear be sitting at a restaurant or somebody, you know, after shows, somebody recognized the wrestlers, and all that wrestling's fake, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, you get in the ring and do it. We'll waive tryout fee, because if I could hit you and they could hear it in the 20th row, how fake was that? Did I give you everything I had? No, but did I hit
you? I was at a wrestling show one time for TCW, and there was a little boy there. He was in Fort Smith, and he had a poster, and he said, wrestling is real, people are fake.
Yep, pretty much. I'm just like,
well,
you know,
one of my female wrestling friends who I consider part of my family, she lives over in Oklahoma. Her name's Skylar, her wrestling name is Skylar Slice. She was on a way to a wrestling show somewhere, and she actually posted this video on Facebook the other day, but a police officer stopped her because he thought she'd been drinking. And she doesn't drink alcohol. She doesn't smoke. She doesn't do drugs. I mean, nothing like that. There he is, like, searching the trunk of her car, and then he's putting everything back in after he had taken it out to, you know, find out that she didn't have anything. He said, well, where are you going? And she told him that, you know, hey, I'm a professional wrestler. I'm on my way to a wrestling event, blah, 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 blah. And he says, well, wrestling is fake. You know, and I told my husband, I said, I would like Skylar to say to that police officer, sir, you know, no disrespect to you as you're, you know, an officer of the law, but if you think this is so fake, try to put me in an arm lock and find out what happens. You know? I would have liked to see her say that to him, but.
I'll say this. Now, this was years ago, we wrestled in the flea market parking lot one time, and there was a little bar next door, and of course, this was during my heyday. So, yeah, we hit the alcohol and into gimmicks and stuff pretty hard. I ain't gonna lie. Anyway, we're over there, and our promoter, you know, was talking to one of the guys drinking. He said, oh, that shit's fake. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, man, we're in intermission. He said, we got Mark over here drinking a beer. I said, I can get him to go over there and give you a tryout. We'll waive the tryout fee. And he's like, no, I'll pass on that. He said, y'all can whip my ass because you can, but I still say it's fake.
Yeah, every now and then, you know, because you know Papa Stroh, of course, he's a regular on here, mm-hmm. And went to high school with Stroh and the whole nine yards, so I've known him forever. And, you know, when we were going around doing the cons and everything, yeah, every now and then I'd get, you know, get up in my oats and I'd say, hey, Stroh, man, hey, do this on me real quick. I want to know what it actually feels like. And it usually resulted in, okay, dude, I appreciate it. Thanks. You know, right on.
Yeah,
I'm good now.
I like working with Stroh. Stroh was old school, you know, because I like to work a lot, what we call stiffer or snugger, which means I like to hit a lot harder. And being Stroh and I trained with the same places, that was kind of the way we were. You know, we were tired of hearing everybody yelling, lighten up, lighten up, lighten up, you know, because old schools used to do it rougher than new schoolers before, you know, mentioned on TV and announces the show and all this, and, you know.
Yeah. I'm telling you what. And, you know, the good thing about Stroh, and Lord knows we've mentioned it a million times on here, I remember when he was in high school, he used to always walk around, man, I'm going to be a wrestler. And we're like, dude, shut up. And bigger than anything.
I know, he said the same thing.
he went out and did it. You know what I mean? So you can't throw no shade at all. And, you know, for anybody who had that, it was just like myself. You know, I always had a knack for writing. I wanted to, you know, have a published novel out there. I got laid off from a six-figure job in 2014. And I said, okay, I could either sit here in a puddle of tears about losing my job, or I could take advantage of the time. And that's when I wrote the first book. Now, have I made six figures writing the book? Oh, hell no. But if it wasn't for writing those three novels, I would not be doing what I'm doing now, and I would have never had the opportunity to meet Granny, Tim, and Mean Mark. You know what I mean? So...
I look at it this way, and that's why I tell kids to this day, follow your dreams. You know, am I rich and well off and everything? No, but at the same time, I ain't gonna be sitting in a rocking chair saying what if. So that was worth it to me right there. You know, so.
Yeah, because time too quick, and and then you hit a point in your life where you just. You know, you just don't have 10 years to start over. You got to, you know, take the time that you got and run with it, you know. So, but, yeah, man, this is I'm looking forward to this show. Now, earlier you were speaking about admission. Is there going to be any at-the-door sales, or is it strictly online?
No, I mean, as far as tickets to get in the building, yeah, we can do those at the door all day long. You know, because like I said, the way we've got it, it's a smaller building. So it's like, you know, some people, you know, some people just kind of like to come in and just hang out all day. We're not going to encourage that as much because it's a smaller building. You know, I mean, if you're shopping or talking to somebody, fine, stay as long as you want. But, you know, if you're just lollygagging, we got to kind of push you along to get somebody else in. But the ones that have to be done online are the meal tickets, because we've got to have a specific count on those, you know,
right,
for the size of the room we've got reserved. I'm not saying we won't do any at the show, because if we're not sold out, we're obviously going to try to finish them. But at the same time, you know, we're trying to get most of those done online.
Absolutely. Cool. Cool. Now, how much is the admission at the door Saturday?
Okay. All right. The admission for the con is $15. All right. So
cool.
That gets you in. So you see all the guests. You see all the vendors. Now, if you decide to do the meal, that's a $25 extra ticket, but that does include the meal. Okay. So you're not paying $25 and buying your food. So that does include your meal. And like I said, we are going to be the sealed offering. Yeah, the only guest. Yeah, the only guest that we're not anticipating being there is Buff Bagwell, and that's because we did not book him, so he wasn't included in on all of that from the beginning. So,
right.
So, I mean, I'm not saying he won't.
I mean,
it's just I haven't directly spoken to him about it. So,
$25 counting the meal. I mean, last time I ate at a steakhouse, it cost me $25. So, I mean, you know, $25 is a drop in the bucket for the experience. Can't really go wrong with that.
Exactly. What we've got is we've got a room that's going to seat 55 people. So when you figure, you know, the guests, and of course, you know, one of them's always brought one or two people with them. So then we figure 20 tickets, and that way everybody be comfortable, have a seat, and everybody get to speak to a guest and all that good stuff.
Outstanding, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this, man. It's good when you get out and about of doing this kind of stuff. And, you know, we just had an example of it a second ago when I was speaking about Velvet and Fuego, for crying out loud. You kind of have a family that, you know, you see at the shows. And you'll find a lot of times that those people are more genuine than the ones that are actually family to you. So
it's always a lot of fun to
bring more people into the fold and everything. And I still think the Carolina coast is an untapped gold mine when it comes down. I mean, I know it's real cliche to throw these things in, you know, Charlotte and Raleigh and Atlanta and Richmond and all that kind of good stuff. But there's an awful lot of stuff out here on the coast, and it's not I think a lot of times people look at the map and they go, oh, shucks, if I throw something there, only these amount of people can get to it. I don't know. I still think the coast is a
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Advance tickets that we sold, I mean, they're coming. I mean, I've sold advance tickets from 2 hours away already. So, yeah, people will travel for these things. So,
because, go ahead, brother, you got it.
I was going to say, the very first set of online tickets that came through were from Whiteville, and I hadn't even advertised in Whiteville yet. I mean, that's, you know,
wow.
So that comes from people. That comes from people sharing it in word of mouth. At that point, I had yet to even advertise it in Whiteville. At that point.
No kidding. That's awesome, man. That's good news. Because I mean, when you see something like that, you know you're doing something right, because it's getting out and it's getting around. And you know, we threw, gosh, what was it, 2019? Had to have been, yeah, it was the year before COVID, so it had to have been 19 or 18. You know, Dr. John threw the Cape Fear Comic Con there at the train station downtown Wilmington by ILM down there. And, you know, that was the one that Jimmy Valiant was at. There was me, Valiant, Stroh was there, the guys from Vaughn, the television show. They're, you know, bunch of us local guys. And, you know, we started off at 10 o'clock. A couple people trickled in. And then at 10:30, the wheels came off the wagon. And that place went
nice.
Absolutely batshit. And,
nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, you know, if you really want to talk about somebody's lineup, you know, the biggest, heaviest hitter we had at that show was Jimmy Valiant. And, you know, Valiant hasn't wrestled in the spotlight since, what, you know, 90?
Yes,
you
early
know,
90s, yeah.
Game, yeah. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's out there. And, of course, the contest
it's out there
to a certain extent. Yeah, go ahead, man. You got it.
But like a friend of mine that's, you know, that's doing security at the show, he goes, he like the way he's the one that got me into the cons because he fell in love with the Mad Monster Con in Charlotte.
Charlotte.
And
yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Yeah, and he likes the horror con. So then we started going to Galaxy Con, yeah, you know, because they had a couple horror actors we wanted to see, and you know, and then Carolina Fear Fest came through, so he booked Tyler Main to come in, where we kind of set up as a vendor. They gave us two tables. Tyler took one table. I set up, and then we had a girl from The Walking Dead, and I got more attention than the girl from The Walking Dead did, so I was thinking, okay, maybe I should start doing these. I don't know.
It happens, man. Sometimes I know, God, it was XCon. Myrtle Beach, I think it was like 2018, where Josh Mayers, matter of fact, Josh, the artist that I was speaking to you all in the beginning of the week about getting him a table out there at the show Saturday, me and him
right. Actually
had lines. People were actually lining up for his art, and they were lining up for my books. And there were two Power Rangers down on the other end. And next thing I know, I see the organizer shuffling all kinds of stuff. And one of the organizers, the guy's in charge, was the guy I went to high school with. So I said, hey, man, what's going on? He says, man, the Power Ranger guys are raising hell because you guys got a line down there and they ain't got nobody. I was like, that ain't my fault I'm this sexy.
Yeah, no, that ain't my fault. I mean, cause trust me, I've seen it with wrestling. I've seen it in other stuff. I mean, some of the best promoted shows have no turnouts. Some of
yep.
the worst promoted shows are packed. I mean, there's just ain't no rhyme or reason how stuff works sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, we were at a wrestling show Saturday in Mulberry, Arkansas, which is about an hour from where I live. And, you know, Mulberry is a really small little town. And they did a fan appreciation night. And we had Eric Redbeard there, who used to be formerly known as Eric Rowan from the Wyatt family, from the WWE there, to face Spider in the main event. And with the purchase of a ticket, you got your picture taken with him and an autographed 8x10 basically for free. And it was a good little crowd. I mean, you know, it was pretty well packed. Well, we had met Eric last year at WrestleCon, and then we saw him when we went to Control Your Narrative. So he remembered me, actually, from last year. He said, well, Granny, how you doing? You know, I said, I'm good. You know, good to see you again. Well, one of my friends that actually wrestled for Traditional Championship Wrestling, and he had not been in a wrestling ring in, like, 11 years. He actually had a dark match Saturday night, one of the first opening matches before the show actually started. And the wrestlers were doing their meeting in the back, and I get there, you know, we always get there early to help things get set up and stuff. And they said, Granny, you were talked about in the room. And I said, oh, really? I said, well, I hope it was all good, you know. And they said that Jeff Jett, he says, you know, telling about, you know, these younger wrestlers, you know, that were new to the business about, you know, working the crowd. He says, you pick somebody, you know, in the crowd, and you can, you know, get that person on your side. They'll help you work that crowd. And he says, let me tell you about a lady that I've known for the past several years who will do that for you. Her real name is Lori Burt, but she goes by Granny Hulkster, and she's not a wrestler, but she is one of the biggest fans that I have ever known in the wrestling business. You get Granny on your side. and she will help you get that crowd going. And I'm very humbled by that, because one of my wrestling friends made a post one day on my Facebook page. He said, it's funny when you get a better pop and you're more recognizable than most professional wrestlers. Now, TCW quit running in 2013, and they still show the old TV tapings in Little Rock on the TV stations down there. To this day, I still have people come up and ask me, hey, aren't you that lady from TCW? Aren't you Granny, you know? And, I mean, I have a friend in the Tulsa area that does wrestling shows for kids that fight childhood cancer called Wrestling for a Cause. They've been doing that for 11 years. They just had their 11th year anniversary show last October. And I asked Tim one time, I said, do you know what my real name is? And he says, no. He says, I've only known you as Granny. Now, I've had this Granny Hulkster gimmick probably for the past 25 years. I had a coworker give me the name because I said, why are you going to call me that? He says, because you love wrestling. Well, my friend, she actually made me my first Granny shirt, which I still have, and it's full of autographs. I mean, independent wrestlers, professional, you know, I mean, it's full of signatures, and it's still in pretty good shape, and I still wear it to wrestling shows. But the shirt says, what you going to do when Granny Hulkster goes crazy on you? Is what it does.
There's fans everywhere. Yeah, I mean, and there's fans everywhere. Like, I grew up where I grew up when I was a kid, and it was always this one guy that was sitting at the top row of the stage. I mean, but he was so loud he would drown out the rest of the crowd. He would cheer for the bad guys. So, you know, all the good guys gave him hell. You know, a lot of the fans gave him hell. You know, and then, of course, when I started wrestling, I decided I wanted to be a bad guy or the heel too. So it was like a couple years in, one of my matches was fairly local, and that guy was an audience cheering for me. That made my day. You know, it's like I told Ivan Koloff, I said, you know, I grew up watching you, Ivan. I said, in 1994, January, I remember it was January. I can't remember the exact date, but, I mean, I'm less than 5 years in the business, and I look across the rig, and there stands Ivan Koloff, and all I can think of in the back of my head, you've hit the big time now.
Yeah, man. Like, and, you know, funny thing, and Koloff's been on the show a couple times prior to his passing years ago, but it's amazing when you meet Koloff. As a matter of fact, he was at one of the Cape Fear. I was like two tables down from him and kind of, you know, got a conversation going with him during the show. And I told him, I said, man, when I was a kid, I was terrified of you, man. And we used to go to the matches in Savannah. My dad was in the Corps, and, you know, we were stationed in Parris Island. So him and a bunch of his buddies would get together, and we had one of those conversion vans back in the late 70s and 80s before, you know, you started – before Buffalo Bill made them not bad to get in, you know, where you're trying to pick up people with Snickers bars and mallet, you know, back when conversion vans were actually used for. You know, my dad would load up a bunch of his damn Marine Corps guys, and we'd swoop the Savannah. And, I mean – just raise hell. And, you know, I think I was like 10, 11. My brother was like 6, 7 years old. And Slaughter, of course, being his persona with the Marine Corps and everything. I mean, my dad and his buds would go apeshit when Slaughter would come out there. So a couple of years ago at Galaxy Con, Slaughter was there. And I got to talking to him, and I says, yeah, man. I says, you know, my pop, back in the day, and I told him the whole thing, and he looked at me, and he just folded his hands on the table. He goes, you know what? I bet you those are the guys. And I says, what do you mean? He says, yeah, they wouldn't have me in Savannah anymore because they said there was a bunch of Marine Corps guys raising too much hell in Savannah, so they didn't have me out there anymore. So, of course, as soon as I get back to the house, I call my pop up. I'm like, hey, you're never going to guess what Slaughter said, you know? But, yeah, I mean, the amount of engagement and everything that goes on is incredible. And, to watch these guys go in there and beat the living hell out of one another to to get us cheering and stomping on the bleachers and everything else. You know, nothing but admiration for you guys for what you do, because, you know, Tiger Woods goes out there and puts golf balls in the woods, puts a couple in the pond. You know, guys like me, I write books. But you guys go out there and get the daylight speed out of one another just so we could cheer. And, yeah,
I'll tell you a funny story, because Michael Jordan and I went to the same high school.
Oh, you went to Laney?
I mean, obviously. Yeah, obviously went through at different time frames because he's about 6 years old.
Ah, no kidding.
But when I first started wrestling, you know, and I started getting into magazines and stuff, so I started pushing it up as I was the greatest athlete that ever came out of Laney High School. Well, Sandy Krebs, because this is Wrestling Main Event magazine, he actually ran some other sports magazines, so he got Jordan to comment. So me and Jordan kind of had this war of words going back and forth in this wrestling magazine. And one night I'm in Raleigh, and one of the waitresses tells me Flair's up in the balcony. And I said, I ain't seen Flair in a while. Can you get me up there? And she said, yeah. So I went, you know, Flair said, hey, so don't I have dinner with us. And I didn't know, but Jordan was at the table too.
Okay.
You know, so we introduced each other, and then we got to talking about that, you know, from back in the early 90s. But Jordan was, I mean, he was nice. He said, let's just be honest about this. He said, you said I wouldn't last 5 minutes in the ring, and I said, you wouldn't last 5 minutes on the court. He said, let's just be honest about it. Neither one of us would last 5 minutes, and the other one's game, and we know it.
Yeah, that was... Nothing wrong with some raw honesty, you know what I mean? You just kind of know when you're beat. That's awesome, man. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I like Jordan more now than I did when he was playing ball. And part of the reason is I'm from D.C. originally. And when I moved to Jacksonville, it was 1982, and I was a big Maryland University guy. Still am. Of course, Maryland ain't what it used to be when it comes down to collegiate sports. Maybe full contact checkers or something like that, but they're not the badasses they used to be back in the 80s. But Lenny Bias, I still to this day say, had he lived, the NBA would have looked different on Jordan's watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there would have been.
Because
Lenny Bias was nasty, and he was lean muscle. Not only was he athletic, but he was big. And so I moved down here, and, of course, you're in Carolina country down here, and everything's Jordan, you know, Jordan, 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 Jordan. You know, you're getting drowned in Tar Heel blue, and I finally stand up with my red, and I go, you know what? F Jordan, Lenny Bias rocks. And Christ almighty, next thing you know, I was spending time in the office and I had the counselor talking to me and the whole nine yards, couldn't get along with anybody. So, of course, the whole time Jordan, when he went to the NBA, the whole time I was watching him play, all I was thinking was like, damn, Tar Heel, I ain't got no time for that fool. And, you know, up till he retired, but in his post-playing time, you know, I've learned more about him. You know, he's matured. I've matured in the whole nine yards. And, I got all kinds of respect for the guy now, especially compared to what's out there playing these days. And
I mean, I won't go into details, but I don't like LeBron.
No, I can go all day. Tim will tell you, and same will Shovel Granny. I don't know how many times I've said on the show, I don't need him to tell me how to raise my family when he doesn't even know how to crank a lawnmower. So,
I'll make it back to something you mentioned earlier, because you were talking about, you know, people used to pick on Shovel back in high school. And trust me, I lived that too. 94. This was also 94. This is a good year for me, evidently. I got to wrestle in my high school gym. So
nice.
You look out in the audience and you see a lot of your old high school classmates. Well, I'm the good guy tonight, so I shouldn't have done this, but I couldn't resist. I took the mic, and I said, oh, I want all you people that told me I would never even get in this business, let alone make it anywhere. I said, I want y'all to know here I am, and y'all paid to see me tonight.
Yeah, kiss my ass. That's epic.
Kind of,
you know,
like that Toby Keith song, How Do You Like Me? How Do You Like Me Now?
Right. Take that.
Yeah.
I was at my reunion a couple of years back, and I'm not going to, it was 2018. Yeah, it was 2018, and yeah, it was my 30-year reunion. I'm getting long in the tooth. Yeah, we did have electricity and indoor plumbing, damn it, so don't ask. But one of the guys come up, and we're all mingling, and, you know, and everybody, and he comes up and he says, man, you know, Dave, you're the only guy that did anything out of this class. I turn around and look. I says, man, what are you talking about? He goes, man, you wrote 3 novels? I says, man, hold up, man. I says, I'm behind a month on my light bill. I says, that chick over there is a pharmacist. That one over there is married to a pharmacist. Dude over there owns his own construction company. That guy over there has laid brick and owns 3 houses. I don't want to hear a damn thing about me being the only one that did anything in this class, for Christ's sake, just because I wrote three books. I said,
trust me, I tell our old friends.
Yeah.
I know. I have to tell our old friends and classmates, I wish we made the money y'all think we make.
Exactly. Exactly, man. I mean, people think we are just, you know, filling up kiddie pools full of damn $20 bills and just doing a backstroke in them damn things. It's like, hell no. Why do you think I'm here at the con?
Yeah, exactly.
Hell,
if I
were trying to make some money, I'd be walking around, you know?
Yeah, no shit. I'd be hosting the con and not even be here. Somebody else would be running there for me. What the hell, you know?
Yeah, I'd be shaking hands, getting autographs. The hell would be, I'm sitting here damn, trying to panhandle books, crying out loud, you know?
Well, in hell, I wouldn't even be there. Somebody else would be running the place for me.
Hey, that's true. Yeah. I'd be out doing, playing golf or something like that, you know, doing something important.
I'd buy Twitter and ban Elon Musk, I guess.
Exactly. Starting fight somewhere. So, Mark,
yeah,
we're getting
exactly.
A little long in the show here, and we got to sign off at 5 till. So what I'd like to do is give you the floor for about the next 10 minutes. And then we'll go around the room and we'll do our little parting shots before we sign off at 5 till. But if you would, take the next 8 to 10 minutes and just review, man, any kind of information that you want to kind of throw out there again for the show when it comes down to, you know, times, places, dates, guests, dollar amounts, yak, 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 man. Dude, just go for it.
You got it. All right, it's the Port City Comic Con, which is going to be Saturday, March the 11th in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's at the Citizen One Studios, which is probably more popularly known as the VFW Hall. It's right next to the Roses Shopping Center on Carolina Beach Road. The actual address is 2722 Carolina Beach Road. If you're a vendor or a guest, 10:30 is setup time. The show officially starts at 12. Like I said, you mentioned earlier, if everybody's set up, you know, and they're starting together, you know, we'll go ahead and open the doors. And the show officially ends at 5. Vendors have to 6:30 to be cleared out completely. At 6:15, and we're doing dinner with the guests. Now, a ticket for admission is $50. If you want to do the dinner meal with the guests, that's an additional $25. And dealsdailynow.com, or look up Port City Comic Con on Facebook, and they'll direct you to the ticket, and, you know, that'll get you to the ticket links. And like I said, there's limited spaces available for the dinner, so I did request those to go online. That's out at the event for those. But admission, I mean, there's plenty of admission available. It's like a birthday and out all day, so we are good to go there. Yes, include from Naked and Afraid. We have 4 guests from Naked and Afraid. EJ Snyder. Now, EJ, interesting about EJ, he's an Army Ranger. He also starred in the old TV series Lost, if any of you remember that.
Oh, no kidding.
And he became a stunt. Yeah, and then he was a stuntman. He was primarily stuntman before Naked and Afraid. Gary Golding, he's known as the nutcase on Naked and Afraid because he does all the crazy stuff and eats the crazy stuff. And I mean, he's a well-trained survivalist, and he does a lot of youth work. He's also a licensed teacher with the Board of Education in California. I mean, so he's an intelligent guy. You can learn a lot from him. But, you know, if you want to come to the show and cut up, he's one that'll cut up with you as well. And we also have Trish Zielinski. She kind of has mixed reviews on the show because it was an XL where she came across kind of pissy, and you know, there's other shows where she came across real nice and everything, you know, and I'll just say all my dealings with her, she's been very pleasant, so I can't say anything negative about her. She's coming. Her daughter Julia, Trish messaged me earlier in the week and said Julia wanted to be included if I could fix her and fit her in as well, so they're going to share a table. Then we got Buff Bagwell. From, of course, he was a WCW, WWE wrestler. I'm missing somebody, I think. Carlos Jimenez from 60 Days In. He was on the last season. He was the Hispanic guy that kind of ran the pod. I know you saw it some. You said your son liked it. But all these guys will be there. Now, Carlos is also training to appear on a celebrity boxing pay-per-view in May.
Oh, wow.
So pretty much everybody, I mean, and I'm filming a Spider-Man movie the following weekend, and I've got two other movie projects I'm waiting on film dates for. So everybody that's involved got other stuff going besides just what you know it for. I had Andrew Shade originally booked. He's also from Naked and Afraid, The Amazing Race. He's got a new CBS series, which I cannot remember the name of at the moment. It starts in April. He's also a comic book author, but he ended up having to cancel because he's filming yet another episode of Naked and Afraid.
Oh, wow.
But, Andrew's the one that came up with the whole idea about dinner with the guests and everything and pitched it to me, so I decided to go ahead and run with that because I thought it was a good idea. So.
The Amazing Race is a great show. I've watched every damn season of that. Don't ask me why I got into that show years ago. I used to be a diehard Survivor and Amazing Race guy, and I kind of drizzled off the Survivor when it quit being about surviving, you know, when the people that don't get a lick, and it was more about bringing, hey, these three people suck. They're the ones I'm going to take the final council with me. So you had a bunch of scrubs at the finals all the time, and I'm like, they didn't survive. They didn't catch any fish. They didn't damn make any fires. They just lean up against a tree for the whole damn season. What are they doing in the final three? So,
that's what I've noticed. I was telling my wife, I was like, you see the big muscled up guys, you see they ride their back because they're good in the challenges until they get towards the end, then they cut them because they see them as a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I told my wife. I said, I'm glad I ain't jacked like I was 20 years ago, you know, when I was in the prime of my wrestling career, because see, now I can go out there and hide my strength until I needed it.
Sooner or later, the age has got to pay off, right?
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't look like I'm jacked to the gills anymore. I could probably hide this a little bit now. You know, I don't realize I'm contributing quite as much as I am.
Yeah,
because we were watching that. We were like, you know, Survivor should be called. We were like, Survivor should be called Naked and Afraid. Naked and Afraid should be called Survivor, because I mean, it's just the way the shows work.
Yeah, because I mean, back the first couple seasons and everything, if you can make fire, if you can catch fish, if you could win the challenges, you had value. But then. Around probably season 10 or 11 is when it, you know, you got in there and you laid it down and you kicked ass in the challenge, and you more or less won the challenge for everybody. You get back to your little headquarters place there, and everybody's, we need to get him out of here. I'm like, well, he's the guy you need to keep. The hell's wrong with you people? So, yeah. It kind of dropped off for me, but Amazing Race, man. I couldn't imagine. I mean,
I had never watched that, so I mean, So I don't know if I like it or dislike it. I've never watched
open.
It. But,
I mean,
but I mean,
like five,
what made me start?
Were they?
Yeah, because I mean, just Andrew. When Andrew mentioned he was on it, that's what made me even start thinking about it. And then and I was like, well, yeah, it's another show to promote. And I say,
yeah.
Which Andrew, he's doing two Naked and Afraid because he's doing a team one and a solo one, which is why he ended up having to miss the con. But his team one is going to air this Sunday night on Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that show, man. I don't do good. As a matter of fact, I'm recovering right now. Spent the weekend looking like the elephant, man. I got into something out here in the yard, and Friday I woke up. My ear looked like Carl Malden. My eye was swollen shut. Couldn't make a fist on either hand. My hands were all swollen up, skin bubbling. I'm like, okay. And next morning, get up, and it spread all over my damn body. And so here we are Wednesday evening, and the hands cleared up. I'm still not the prettiest guy in the world. That's why I do podcasts. But the ears finally starting to shrink down a little bit. I keep thinking to myself, I say, man, you have got to get over this stuff before you go Saturday. You don't want to look like a damn leper walking in that thing, for crying out loud. So I don't know how these guys lay out in the dirt buck naked. Son, I'd be ate up. I'd be damn freebasing Benadryl from the moment I got out there to the minute I, you know, quit. There's no way in hell.
I'll sign up for it. And EJ's the caster, so I'm going to talk to him Saturday. Yeah, my wife is telling me, though, she's just like, she's like, well, they're like, she sent a man and a woman out. So she was, like, naming the females, you know, that she thought were pretty good survivalists. She's like, see if you can do, like, a Legends and Rookie show where, you know, put you somebody more experienced, you know, and then y'all merge or whatever. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, because I was like, even this, I was like, hey, if EJ will go for that, I'll talk to Trish. See if she wants to go again, because the closest she lives, I could train together. I could train with her, and we'd be on the same page when we got out there. I was just like, that would work. You know?
Of course.
So, but, you know.
Naked in the woods in the Carolinas is a whole different ball of wax, man. The stuff you've got to worry about wandering around.
They do them in the Everglades. They do them in the bayou. They do them in Montana. They do one in the Mississippi swamp. Because I've seen every episode. What I'm saying is, though, just like her train me with Naked Fire to help hunt and all that, you know, to build huts and stuff like that. That way me and her would be on the same page when we got out there instead of coming up with millions of different ideas on fighting and not getting along. You know?
Yeah. It's, I don't know how they do it. Hats off to them. Because like I said, if, you know, my idea is camping is having to pull the damn covers out from under the mattress because the damn maid put them in there too tight. Damned if I'm covering up with sand and washing my cod in a damn, you know, pond or something like that. Nah, that ain't me. There are certain lines I draw on the sand and hygiene.
Yeah, like I said, well, if I get selected, my idea of camping out has been pretty much what I did in Myrtle Beach for that Comic Con, the Grand Strand Comic Con, and that was the suite at the Hilton where I went back, crashed on the bed, and watched Naked and Afraid on TV till I got up to go to the next day.
And went all out. Yep, that was me. That's me.
Yeah.
So, man,
yeah, I took my
I'm
daughter to
Friendly,
and then we went back to the hotel and crashed.
Yeah, and out like a light, and got a decent meal, you know?
Yep,
so we got about 5 minutes to kick it around the room real quick. Like, so what we'll do is do a real quick, the Granny, the Tim, Mark, I'm going to go back to you, and then we'll close the show. So, Granny, you got about a minute, baby. Hit your...
I just hope everybody has a great rest of the week. I hope you all have a great turnout at your con this Saturday. Mark, it was a pleasure to have you on our show tonight and get to talk to you, sir. And feel free. You're always have an open invitation with us. So just glad to have you on tonight, my friend.
I appreciate it.
Outstanding. Granny, we appreciate you joining us and tell the Granny crowd.
You're welcome.
That, nothing but the best wishes going their way. Hopefully everything will work out for you. So, you know,
yep.
Again, you got people in your corner. You know what I mean?
I know I do.
So, Tomosi, you've been quiet. So if I know you, you've been working the whole time during the show, young man, because you never stop working. You go 17, 18 hours a day. So that's what you get for being a working stiff. You can meet me on the other side of retirement, man. What kind of parting shots do you have?
Guilty as charged. Hey, I just want to echo what Granny said, man. It was nice to have you on the show, Mark. Always a pleasure to have fun guests on, so that's cool. Hey, I was reading a little bit. That's all I really got to say. I like it when we have got guests on because, you know, I don't want to come up with a big ending here focused on me. I'd rather ask a question. So I was reading a bio here, and it said, since become a musician. So I was curious what instrument you play.
I don't play an instrument. I just do vocals.
Okay.
I released 3 CDs, 2 officially released. 1 I haven't actually put anything out there yet. It's just, I mean, matter of fact, the building we booked was not originally for concert. It's just a medical disorder I've got. I can't perform anymore. So I decided to go for the con, and just all the music I'm releasing now is just digital for listening and digital purchases.
Gotcha.
I've got probably one of the most common diseases nobody's ever heard of. It's called dysautonomia. It is nerve related. So like whatever symptom I'm presenting, it's like because I had a spinal surgery and that's where I really thought it was from. I was going to my doctor and I said my arms feel weak. And the doctor's like, you're throwing me across the room. How do you feel weak? And I'm like, I'm weak. Trust me, I'm weak. And, you know, and then as we discovered dysautonomia, and the more we study up on it, it's your nerves playing trick on me. I really was not weak. It's just my arms felt like they were.
Oh, wow.
So it's like whatever symptom I have, I'm not really having it. It's your mind playing tricks on you, but you can't just say to yourself, hey, this is my mind playing trick on me. Stop. Yeah, it's just because it's your nerves doing it. You know?
Yeah. Well, I wish you the best. I did read that, too. I wish you the best with all that. But, again, just a pleasure to have you on. And, I guess we'll kick it over to you then.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. And I'll try not to wrap up all your time. Hey, I do need to speak to Dr. John at some point here because he wanted me to go to Georgia. And I can't get in touch with him.
Oh, for crying out loud. I'll get you in touch with him.
Yeah, please do, because, I mean, that's going to be a 2-day trip for me, so I was going to try to get in the spring for a hotel. I ain't worried about anything more than that. So, you know.
Yeah, he's wanting me to swoop for that, too, and it's like, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. The money just ain't there.
Well, I know what he's telling me, you know, is my type of stuff ain't going to sell, but, you know, like the arts and crafts and stuff he's telling me sells. Well, my wife does those, so I don't mind lending my face and let my wife sell the merchandise. It's just I just need to confirm everything with him, you know.
Yeah, I'll have him get a hold of you. That'll be no sweat.
Okay.
But, dude, we really appreciate you coming on this evening, man. And,
Yes, we do.
We gotta get you to come back on, and we'll just jive some wrestling the whole time instead of doing the con talk because, Lord knows, we can go all night talking about wrestling. It'd be good to talk about the past, the future, the present, and all that kind of good stuff. As a matter of fact, me and my son sat down and watched 4 back-to-back Hell in a Cell matches the other night just for shits and giggles, had a couple beers, and watched the matches, and I was like, man, you know what? You know, I watched these matches when this young man was like, 3, 4, 5 years old, and now here he is, 24 years old, and me and him still having a good time watching him. So, you know, wrestling is a universal thing, man.
I grew up watching Ivan. So, you know, when I stood across the ring and he's my opponent, you know, that's all you're thinking. All right, I'm in the big time now.
Please
tell Buff Bagwell that Granny Hulkster and David and Anthony from Springdale, Arkansas, sends their hellos.
Will do.
See if he remembers Granny.
All right, gang.
Well,
all right, guys.
I'll
get off here then so y'all can wrap it up.
Yeah, we're going to bleed over until the next show here in a couple seconds. So do a quick sign off with everybody. Appreciate everybody joining us. And again, meet Mark Ash. Look him up. Fantastic gentleman. Pleasure to meet him. I'm glad to cross paths with this guy. And looking forward to seeing them this weekend at the Port City Comic Con. Going to be a good time.
Right.
And like I said, we got to get you back on, man, just to talk some shit, man. And
yeah, absolutely, man. Just shoot me a message. I'm
related.
All right, cool. Yeah, just shoot me a message, man. I'm free most Wednesday night. So.
You're not on. Sounds good.
All right.
All right,
I'm going to say bye so you can plug the next show.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you a bit. Talk to you soon.
All right. All
right. All
right. We'll see you Saturday, man. All right. Bye.
And with all that, we're going to go ahead and sign off here at Pop Culture Stars. Appreciate everybody joining us, and we will talk to you next Wednesday. Same bat time, same bat channel. Y'all be safe out there. Thanks.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
That was damn close, man. That was pretty convincing. That actually had me looking up in my, because I was like already on the button, getting ready to flip it. And when you started doing that, I looked up and was like, God damn, did I already hit this? Damn. Well,
mission accomplished.
If you ever lose your job with the government, Tim, you know what you can do. You can voice over for Blog Talk when the
British
ladies.
Blog Talk.
Holy shit. Kind of like the Kembe Mutombo were doing the Cookie Monster voice. I mean, damn, that was pretty close, dude. Well done. All right. So with all that, we're going to sign off. Damn, Tim. That was nice. You guys have a wonderful week. We will talk to y'all next
Good night,
week.
Everybody.
Good night,
British
y'all.
Lady. Not Tim, but the British lady. Damn. That was rich. Outstanding. Oh, for Christ's sake, I ain't got no internet. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the manual. All right.
I scared him.
Yeah, needed Tim after all. All right. 3, 2, 1. Good night, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye.